Hey everybody, it's Caddy. You're in the September Cafe, and I have the legendary, yes, legendary drummer, Mr. Roger Taylor, with us.
Hello.
Look at me. I'm applauding you. You haven't been in the cafe since April, so it's been 5 months, which is a long
Yeah. Oh,
time to
wow,
be
that's
cafe-less.
so that was kind of just before we kicked off the whole
The whole
tour, really, wasn't
rigor,
it?
yeah,
Because I
the
remember
rigmarole.
because we actually rehearsed on my birthday on 26, and I gotta say we've been pretty well full steam ahead since then.
Yeah, you didn't even have to think about your birthday, and in my book, that's always a good thing. So the first thing that you guys did was the Ibiza weekend. It was such a sensational weekend, and it was the first Duran Duran centric weekend you guys have ever done. What was it like from your perspective?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I have to say, that Nick and John had their exhibitions. You could come and see me DJ at Pasha, and of course you had the Duran show. So we had a whole all these different things going on, and of course we did the Q&A, which was really cool with Errol Elkin and Pete Tong.
Yeah,
So
Pete Tong.
it was a really great weekend, and we kind of thought afterwards we'd love to recreate it somewhere else, because it was so cool.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it was so super cool. You guys were busy all the time. So, like you said, you did a DJ night. Errol Alcan did a DJ night. Nick and John did exhibits. I think there was a movie night as well. I guess next time Simon will have to do like a live episode of Whoosh or something because he was the only one.
I said to that him, I
And
said that you should do a live whoosh, definitely. Get it
what
out of there. Get it out of there.
is I don't know if he thinks he can. I mean, maybe he can do it with me. I don't know. Without
Yeah.
me, I should say.
Yeah.
But I
Do a
mean,
double act.
I could come on the road. It seemed like just the most extraordinary weekend. And then Pete Tong opened for you. The location for the show was unbelievable. I mean, did you just go home saying like, how are we going to top this now?
I think we did actually. Yeah, it was so great and so successful. It was really how we're gonna where do we go from here? Fashion was amazing, I have to say. It was completely beyond my expectations. Any expectation that I had was just blown out of the water, I have to say, because I walked in there thinking it was gonna be, it's gonna be chilled out. I'd been in the daytime and it kind of had sofas everywhere. And I thought this is going to be kind of just like a chill that evening. I turned up and there were 2,000 people just waiting to go wild, it seems. So, I had to hit, I came up with a really high tempo, big room set, which seemed to go down a storm. And I'm still bumping into people now that say, oh, I was at Pasha and we had such a great time and it was such a great evening. And I kind of feel that we're in this incredible place now where people are just, they would just want to get out and have fun and go wild. And they did that night. It was a great night that I'll never, never forget.
And it was extra special, I think, for you because Elliot was there with you, right? And he
Oh,
did.
my super assistant Elliot was there with me, so it was that made it even more special.
That's so cool. And how much preparation? Like, were you nervous a little bit? Because obviously you'd been sidelined sort of as a DJ for a little bit because of COVID. Then I know you did a couple things. Leading up to it, but were you nervous or
Yeah,
because you
I was nervous. It's a big thing to play in the big room at Pasha, and I spent weeks working on the set before, and I got to Ibiza the night before, And I suddenly had a grave doubt whether I'd got the right set, whether it was the right vibe, because I knew it was going to be a big room and it was Ibiza, but then there were going to be a lot of kind of Duran-centric people there. And so I called up Elliot. I said, "Elliot, come over to the hotel. I'm gonna play you some of the sets, see what you think, because I'm really not sure whether it's the right thing." Elliot comes over to the hotel and I get all my gear set up in the hotel and I play him about 20 minutes of the set. And he said, "Yeah, Dad, that's great. That's gonna go down a storm." And he was right, but I did have this doubt, this kind of last minute doubt whether I'd got the right set, which I've been working on for weeks. But it went down really well.
That's great. I love that, Raj. And I love that Elliot was sort of your litmus
Yeah.
for cool. And he is. He gets, you know, he's the right age. You
Yeah,
know,
why not
that's,
ask a youngster?
yeah, that's totally true. That's so funny. So, your latest run capped off with 3 nights or this. So you've been on the road legitimately since the very end of April, on and off, but a lot on. Until just last week, you capped off with 3 nights at the Hollywood Bowl. You had Nile Rodgers come on for Notorious. You had Mike Garson
Oh, yeah.
on for two songs, 5 Years, the Bowie track, and then Save a Prayer. Well, like,
Yeah.
what was that like? Was that whole
Well, I've
run?
got to, I was just saying, we didn't know how we could top Ibiza, but we've just gone on to have the most incredible year. Playing the Queen's Jubilee and playing Hyde Park, the Commonwealth Games. That was an incredible night. And then the US tour, which has just been incredible. The Hollywood Bowl was amazing. We had Mike Garson, as you said, come on stage with us, Niall Jam with us, and we just had the most amazing reception there. But it's really hard to pick the best night from the US tour because it was all so good. I mean, Chicago was incredible. New York was amazing. San Francisco, Fort Worth was another amazing night in Texas. So we just had this most amazing run that's kind of beggars belief, really. And as I said before, I think we're in this period now. Well, I think people are very hungry for Duran Duran, and they're hungry to get out there and enjoy themselves again. So we've been kind of riding that wave. Been really cool. But you've been to some of the shows, and I can't think of reactions that have been that intense since the early 80s.
I think you're right that people are definitely ready to go out and have a good time. But Duran Duran are the kind of band that you can do that to. That's part of it. You know, there are some artists you see that are kind of nihilistic or sort of depressing or heavy, and you're just like, oh, do I want to spend all my money doing that? But Duran Duran is a band you go see when you want to have a great time. And I think I say this every few years. I say this. I say I've been working with you for a long time and I've never seen reviews like this before.
Yeah, I
And
know.
then it comes back 3 or 4 years later and the reviews are even better. You didn't have one stinky review, not one this whole run, which is, you know, gosh, even when you played the Commonwealth Games where sometimes, you know, they could sort of, or the media, as in they could sort of take the piss. They were just raving about Duran Duran and what they mean. And
I
I
did kind of think I'm going to wake up any second, and actually it was all some kind of dream.
don't I
We've never had reviews like that. We've never had great reviews. So sometimes we've kind of thought, were they actually at the same gig? Were they in the same room? But now we're really getting great reviews, which is great while it lasts.
I think
Never.
it's going to last.
Don't take them too seriously, I think, is the is the thing on those, because you never know how long they're going to last.
Well, I know Simon says he doesn't like reading reviews because if he reads the good ones, he has to read the bad ones. But I said, I got to tell you, dude, you're not getting much in the way
Can't
of
get bad
bad.
reviews,
Not
exactly.
this time.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever played with Mike Garson in a live setting before? I know obviously you did the 5 days video with him and you've met him, but I don't know if
No, that was
you've.
the first time we'd actually played live with him.
Was that crazy?
Yeah, that was the first time. The first time with the bowlers, the first. Well, we'd done a rehearsal with him. We did a sound check with him.
Right.
Yeah, that was the first time we actually played him, because that was all done remotely by the
When you did the Bowie thing.
London, and that was done remotely. So it was the first time we played with him. And yeah, what a musician. What a musician. I mean, a true legend, and a real honor to be on the same stage as somebody like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And
The
as
body he was playing was just so beautiful.
Oh
So,
my gosh, right? I didn't grow up a Bowie fan like you did because I'm a little younger than you. But I did start listening to a lot more Bowie when you did that collaboration with Mike, and I didn't realize how much he added to David's band, and it was pretty exciting for me to meet him and
Yeah, a
all
nice
that.
fellow, isn't he?
Yes, he's
But a lovely
lovely.
man. So
Yeah.
please come back again, Mike. Please.
Please come back, Mike.
Yeah. Anytime.
And then going back to a little bit going back to your time in Ibiza, you played, I think you played Errol Alcan's remix of All of You when you were DJing, and I just wondered how that came about, that him doing a remix of that song particularly.
Well, you know, Errol comes from a DJ background, so all his remixes are something really special. I didn't actually play it at Pasha that
Oh,
night.
maybe he played it then. He
Yeah,
probably played it.
he played it. Yeah, I was playing stuff with it that was actually much more high tempo than that mix. I think that was more of like it's more of an early evening mix, I would describe it as. When I went on at 9, 10 p.m., whatever it was, I was already up at 127 BPM, so it was a bit slow for that. But it's an amazing remix, and Errol's a really incredible guy. I mean, we really have to thank him for the work that he did on this record. And you know, we talking about how well it's gone this year and how the reviews are great and this is great, but it all goes back to the album. I think, you know, what a good album it is, and a lot of that, you know, is Errol. You know, he had a vision for this record, and I think people are liking it. People are liking the vision that Errol had. You know, you've heard us play the new songs in the set, and they just fit so well. You know, they dovetail so well into the classic songs, and that, you know, that's Errol's production. And so we have to thank Errol, because he's amazing.
I think that he is, and I think that one of the things that people like about Duran Duran, this version of Duran Duran, is you guys always push forward. You never really, while staying true to Duran Duran, you never do make the same record twice. You're always progressive. And it might be the people you choose to work with who help take you there, but I feel like as a band, that's a choice you guys make. And it's pretty cool. You know, that's what a lot of the reviews say, or a lot of my friends say, like it sounds like Duran Duran, but it sounds current. And that's pretty cool, Raj.
We say we all our best records have always had great producers. Well, I think we've all got ideas. We've all got, you know, we're all very creative in the studio, I think. We do need a leader. We need somebody that can kind of pull all those ideas and the creative thoughts and the individual visions together. We've always needed a really good leader, and that good, that goes right back to Colin Thurston. He was the man in 1981 of, or whatever it was. He was the guy then that kind of brought everything together. And Errol's been the guy on this record.
You know what I would like to know? Have
Let's
you
not
ever?
forget Giorgio, by the way.
No, we can't forget
We can't forget
Giorgio.
Giorgio Moroder, because again, he played a huge part in this record.
Or even Mark with Wing. You know, a lot of fans gravitate to that song as well. Did
That's true. That's
he
true.
produce
Exactly.
Wing? So my question for you is, when you're in the studio with the band and you feel really strongly, I want to know if Roger Taylor has ever put his foot down and said, I'm not changing this. I know.
I think I have actually, I
I
mean, if
think you have too.
I believe something, and I think I believe something is right, no, I'll definitely protect my part of the ring, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go in there screaming and shouting,
No.
which I don't think any of us do these days, but I will
Really?
certainly protect
I
my
can
corner.
I will say no
You're
more.
suspecting that I'm not telling the truth there, aren't you?
I shall say no
Okay,
more.
a little bit of screaming and shouting.
Maybe among some people. No, I like, you have a really quiet strength that I have come to admire. I like that. You stand up for what's right. You could
Thank
be
you.
a politician, Raj. You could be
Oh, man.
just what
Oh,
this
no,
world
please,
needs.
no.
What this world needs.
Never, never,
Never, never, never, never.
never, never, never. No.
All right. I was going to bring up, we before we start our cafes, Roger and I always have a little chit chat, and I was talking to him about everything Duran Duran has coming out. You have a Record Day US exclusive, a double, it's double vinyl dipped in gold, not real gold, obviously, but it looks pretty cool. For Duran Duran live at Hammersmith 82 with an exclamation point. Then you have Future Pay that comes out November 25th. Then on November 25th, you have also for Record Store Day, Future Past, the complete edition, which is like two different color vinyl, lots of booklets, looks super cool. Then on October 14th, Errol's, remix of All of You comes out. It's like a night version. And also, even though you weren't on Midazolam, that's coming out October 14th too. So
Wow.
it's like, gosh, there's a lot of Duran. And then I need some scoop because I think that maybe you'll come back out on the road in 2023. Did you hear that rumor? I
I did
hope
hear
so.
that rumor. I'm not quite sure where or when, but we'll definitely be doing more dates in 2023. But amazing on the of all the product that's coming out. And I've got particular fond memories of Hammersmith Odeon, because you probably know that that's a legendary, it's almost, I mean, it's a legendary venue in England. I mean, we used to go and see people play a Hammersmith Odeon, and we never thought that we'd get to play there, and we finally got to play there, and it was an incredible moment for us. So it felt like we'd really succeeded at that point, and I just remember it being so great.
Does it still exist? I think it does, but now it has like a different like corporate name or something like that, right? Doesn't it?
The Apollo now. So but
Excuse me.
I still go and see bands there now. I saw Bryan Ferry there quite recently. Or Ian Hunter and Mötley Crüe a few years back. So yeah, it's It's definitely still a major venue.
Go, Raj. I didn't know that that was like a peak. Was it, would you say that was like second to getting to Madison Square Garden for you guys? Like you played the Hammersmith and you achieved an enormous goal?
I think it was definitely a stepping stone.
Yeah.
I think there were certain venues in the world that you want to play in England. The Hammersmith Odeon was one of them, and the next one was the Garden, which we got to play not so long after that.
No,
I
like 2 years
played
later.
it, yeah. But that was certainly the next stepping stone.
I can't let you go, Raj, without Roger's shaking his head at me, without talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know that's coming up quickly. It's coming up quickly. It's
It
coming up
is.
quickly.
I'm
Oh
so
my
excited.
God.
I can't
You're
stand
going to
it.
be there.
I'm so excited. I can't stand it. So first you're doing some Halloween dates in Las Vegas, and then you're doing a show in California on November 2nd. And then on November 5th, you and your bandmates will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How nervous are you? Spill it. Spill it, Raj.
Oh, very nervous, I've got to say. It's going to be great, though. It's going to be really amazing, and I'm looking forward to playing with Andy and Warren. That's going to be something quite special.
Yep.
And it's just such a big moment, isn't it? I mean, it's such a big moment, and I think we're all looking forward to it immensely, I have to say.
This is as big as it gets for
It is
music.
really as big as it gets, isn't it? Really, where do you?
Where
I
do
don't
you
know. There's
go?
nowhere bigger. I think, particularly in America, there's nowhere bigger to go is there than this, really. So, it's going to be amazing, definitely.
It is.
And I think you're kind of remembered forever, aren't you? I think in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not just a fly by night award or. Life, I'm not kind of putting any of the awards that we have down, but I think the
Right.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you're kind of written into history, aren't you? And I
Into the
think when you
books.
become a musician, I think you want to make a mark on the world. I mean, I know I did. I wanted to be remembered after I'd gone. That was one of the things that when I became a performer was definitely part of my thought process is what I just didn't want to be, and I didn't want my life just to pass without recognition. So I think that was part of the thing. That's one of the reasons I became an artist of some sort. And this is that, isn't it? It's recognition that it's going to live on long after we've passed away.
It's
So.
forever. And
It is.
then
It is exactly. It's so big.
it's forever. And like your kids and my kids will go to the Rock Hall in Cleveland and see your name there. And it's like, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not even like officially blood related to you, and I get, all choked up and teary. And you're going to have an exhibit this year in Cleveland, which is going to be outstanding. And we'll be posting some stuff on socials about that as it comes together. But I don't know, Raj. I'm not sure how
Well,
much.
I do love what Andy said, actually. The first thing he said, I think, when he found out was, well, it's better than being a waxwork.
Right.
They can take the waxwork out and they'll probably put somebody else in there that's the flavor of the month,
That's very Andy.
I thought that was quite funny, actually.
It is. It is. But I am as excited as you guys. I can't wait. I'm counting. I don't know. I'm just, I think we'll have to, well, you and me by proxy, we'll just have to take it all in and then, stay present, live in the moment. I can't tell
Exactly.
you how excited I am. It's getting me on a plane again because my last plane journey home from Los Angeles, I'm pretty sure that's where the lady sitting next to me coughed all over me and I got this cold.
Oh no,
So
no.
I know. Oops. Anyway, Raj, it was
Okay.
fantabulous having you
Thank you.
in
Thank
the
you.
cafe. We will not see you again until December. So you better start thinking about your favorite gig of the year because you know that's going to be your part of your year-end cafe questions.
I know
Better
it's a tough question this This year, I have to say, it's going to be a tough one.
It is. It's going to be hard to choose. So get cracking.
Such a great year.
Thank you so very much for joining us. You're always a pleasure, Trej. And
by the way, thanks to everybody that's been to a show this year, because you've been incredible. The audiences really have been something special. So thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming into the cafe, Raj. We'll see you
soon.
Thank you.